And if we use sex semen, we can produce as many of each kind as we want. This is entirely a feasible technology to do. These are animals produced with sex semen. So we produced those three older females with sex semen, bred them to X-bearing sperm to produce females as well, so we have a situation with no males being produced. So we've talked about efficiency problems and so on. And one of the big problems with beef, intrinsic problems with beef cattle production, is maintaining the cow herd. So with this kind of a scheme, if we just use sex semen and produce females, we don't need to even have a cow herd. But we do beef production without a cow herd. So we have each heifer replace herself with a female calf, wean them at 3 months. They grow very efficiently from 3 months on in the feedlot. Fatten the heifer after weaning for another couple of months, and you have a 29-month-old heifer that one can sell. And this thing is self-sustaining, assuming perfect sex detection, and they get pregnant and so on. So you have a whole system with no cow herd. Huge opportunities for improving efficiency. Seed stock bulls. We talked about the advantage of genomics and being able to reduce generation interval. So let's reduce it even further. Let's do that genomics at the embryo stage. So even before the pregnancy is established. And a very important point, the genomic determination is just as good at the embryo, newborn calf, yearling, mature cow, or bull stage. It's the same genetic information. So we produce embryos in vitro, pick the best 1% with genomics, so we've had a selection of discarding 99% of the embryos, and then with some other transgene manipulations, we might even make a bull that produces only X sperm or only Y sperm. We could take this whole thing a bit further, and maybe produce these sperm in vitro without even having a bull. So we have a cell line that produces sperm, and so we get rid of the bulls as well. So that's something that's way into the future, but it illustrates some of the possibilities. Now, my last example concerns something that's way into the future. So this is a slide of my cow herd being taken to the mountains in the summer. And, of course, the cows are lactating and just got pregnant and nursing the calves. But when we bring them back in the fall, they just sit around for 5 months until they have calves again. So I'm suggesting we have them hibernate. Help bears do it. Let's just have the cows hibernate. Now, you may think that that's really silly, but there are some partial hibernation situations. So if you and I go outside and it's cold, we turn up our thyroid to produce more heat, and that requires eating more. Deer don't do that. They turn down their metabolism, so it's a partial hibernation. Now, if it gets too cold, they all freeze to death, okay? So there's limitations to that. But that's just some idea that one might think about doing something along those lines. And so just to conclude, I want to acknowledge the many mentors I've had, scientific colleagues, students like Dr. Rusk, technical and secretarial colleagues, and I've had a lot of collaboration from farmers and ranchers with these experiments, and thank you for your attention.
Well, thank you, Dr. Seidel.